You are listening to Blessed and Bossed Up, presented by Anchored Media, an entrepreneurship podcast for Christians all about how to make God the CEO of your business. Get ready to be inspired, challenged, but well-equipped to live and build your destiny His way. Hey guys, welcome to another episode of the Blessed and Bossed Up podcast. I am excited about today's episode because we are going to have a conversation about ambition. Y'all know when I answer questions on the show, one of the reasons why I love doing them is one, of course, because I get to connect with you guys. I mean, I record this podcast talking to myself. Right now, I'm literally sitting on my bed with my Bible, my laptop, and my devices, talking to myself. And so when you submit questions, I'm able to feel like I'm really engaging with you, but it also gives me insight to some of the things that you all may be praying about, struggling with, and looking for answers for that helps me to be a lot more direct and precise with what we discuss on this podcast. And I'm always just wowed at how the Lord is so omnipresent, because a lot of the things that you all are dealing with are things that we are already discussing or things that I have been praying about as well. So it's always a blessing. So this topic of ambition, ever since it was brought up in our Q&A episodes, has still been on my mind. And I talked about it in a previous episode where I said how as I'm getting older, I feel like my ambition is shifting some. And things that I may have desired before, I just don't quite care about. I was talking to my husband the other day and I was saying how I remember in my 20s, my goal was to be a full-time entrepreneur. I said by 25, I want to be a full-time entrepreneur. And at 25, I became a full-time entrepreneur. That was 9 years ago now. Then I said, I want to have a six-figure business. Did that. Multiple six figures was the next step. Did that. And of course, the natural next step is I want to have a $1 million business. But around that time, I started having children, and my children just became way more important, and my family became way more important than what it was going to take to get my business to the $1 million threshold. I could see it. I had plans for it. I knew that I could achieve it. But the Bible tells us who builds a house without first counting the cost. And I'm a firm believer in not just doing things for the sake of doing them, but really taking a step back and evaluating why you're doing things. As y'all know, I believe self-awareness is one of the secrets to success. And also really taking inventory of what it's going to take to get there. And as I took inventory of what it was going to take to reach this next income goal, it wasn't worth it. The time away from my family wasn't worth it. The energy that it was going to take from me, the way I was going to have to show up, I didn't want to. It wasn't worth it. And to be honest, my reasoning for wanting to reach that goal was nothing more than an ego boost to be able to say I'm this successful millionaire entrepreneur. It was nothing beyond that, because the reality is the life that I live is comfortable. My children are well taken care of. They have amazing opportunities. They will be very wealthy when they are older, based on the decisions that we make for them. They are well-rounded. They have the time with their mom and their dad. They have our love and attention on a day-to-day. My life is so rich. And that is way more important to me than being able to poke my chest out and say I reached this milestone and be this big boss, right? That ego was a part of my immaturity. But as I've grown in Christ, as I've grown as a woman, as I've grown as a business owner, I have a different perspective on a lot of things. And I sat with some women or some young ladies recently, one of the listeners on this show, actually, who's been listening to this podcast for since the beginning. She reached out because she has a nonprofit for teen girls, and they were coming to the DC area to tour different colleges. And so she reached out to me asking if I would be able to do a tour of Anchored Media Studios and then talk to the ladies. And I was like, okay, of course, like, absolutely. If y'all know my story, I started as an entrepreneur with a youth program because I wanted to give back to teens. And so this was something I absolutely was going to make time for. So I blocked it off on my calendar. I met the girls. I gave them a tour of the studio, and we had a conversation about entrepreneurship, growth, faith, etc. And one of the girls, she asked me, because I was telling them my whole story. I told them how I'm in law school now. I was studying once they came there, or right before they got there. And she was like, well, when does it stop? And it was interesting. It was an interesting question, because I had follow-up questions, but sometimes people can't always articulate exactly what they mean. But the way I answered it, I'm like, well, you never stop evolving. You never stop growing. The assignment just continues to evolve. As long as we're here, we have a mission and a calling on our life that we have to fulfill. But as I thought about it later, because the question just sat with me, I feel like her question was, it seems as if there's always some new level to strive to. Like I felt, and I could be wrong here, but it just felt like there was a level of exhaustion in her voice already. And she's not even, I don't even think she was 19 years old yet. And it just had me thinking, because from my perspective at this big age is like, no, you know, we grow in wisdom, we grow in purpose, etc. But for young girls and young people, Gen Z, they are growing up in this era where, because of social media and the exposure to so much and influencer culture, is almost if you're supposed to have your whole life figured out right now. And one of the girls was talking to me about that, where she was like, well, how do I know what God wants me to do with my life? And then me at 34, I'm like, girl, your whole life? God willing, it's going to be so long. There's no way that you will know right now what you're doing with your whole entire life. And, but again, these questions just raised this broader issue, in my opinion, that they are supposed to know everything right now. And I think that that's also because of social media and what they're exposed to, where there's this opportunity where you can be rich and famous and have all the likes and the views and the clout and all of that at such a young age, to where if you're 18, 19 and still don't know what you want to do with your life, you feel like you're behind. And that leads to so many things, depression, anxiety. And to be frank, that's not even just a teenage young girl problem. That's a problem I feel like all the way through your 20s and your early 30s, because we hear those conversations, especially with those who are closer to 30. I feel like I'm behind. I haven't bought a house yet. I haven't gotten married yet. I haven't had children yet. I feel like I'm behind my peers. There is this rush that is creating a pressure amongst people that is so debilitating in a lot of ways. And it is frustrating, and it's depressing, and it causes anxiety and all of these things. And for some of us, it's not just the external things. Sometimes it's internal, where we do have this drive, this ambition, this hustle, this grind, these goals, these big dreams that we want to reach. And we can't help it. I'm one of those people, sometimes we can't help thinking and dreaming about the possibilities of what could be, whatever that may be. And I was talking to my husband about this, and he's somebody who's very much in the moment, very much so go with the flow, very present, not trying to go too fast, never in a hurry. It drives me crazy sometimes, but that is his demeanor. And when we have these conversations, he says that, you know, something he always wants to ask is, when is it enough? What are you actually striving for? And I was telling him, as I'm growing and maturing and things that I think about when I am dreaming and thinking ahead and all of that, is not the stuff that I would dream about in my younger age. It's not like my next revenue goal or my next car or the next house or the next asset. It's, man, I really want to see the world that God created. I'm somebody who doesn't like long plane rides, so it's never been a huge thing for me to go and travel the whole world. I like to take a trip and a vacation, but I've never been farther than like the Caribbean. he's more way more well-traveled than me. Of course, he's Nigerian, so Africa, Europe, he's been to all of these different places. I have not. And so I was like, man, I want to travel and see all of the beauty of God's creation. I want to take my kids to different countries and places so they can learn about the cultures and eat the food, and we can have these meaningful experiences and conversations together. So when we're talking about money and financial goals, it's not about, I want to be able to say I'm this big boss, multimillionaire entrepreneur. It's, I want to have enough cash to be able to cultivate these meaningful experiences for myself and for my family. I want to have assets to where my children have a huge leg up when they're starting their world. And those things are already in play and solidified. But as far as like where ambition looks like for me personally at this phase of my life, it's freedom, it's joy, it's slowness, it's peace, it's being able to give to others, being able to just be comfortable. Like, as I'm growing, I'm seeing this shift. And this is why I want to have this conversation today, because I believe that the shift that I'm experiencing is the one that the Lord wants many of you to experience as well. And that shift is from selfish ambition to godly ambition. Now, hear me out, because I know you may raise your eyebrow and be like, well, girl, I'm not selfish. My ambition ain't selfish. The Lord placed these ideas in me. It is godly. Okay, hold on. Don't shoot too fast. I'm using the term selfish ambition intentionally because it is a phrase that is used in the Word. And ultimately, with every one of these episodes, I want you to always go back and reference the Bible. So I'm using selfish ambition versus godly ambition, and not some cool mnemonic or alliteration type title that I can make up, because I want you to be able to easily reference this for yourself. So I'm not calling you selfish, sis. I'm just calling a spade a spade. Selfish ambition. Because honestly, the reality is, if the ambition is not rooted in God anyway, if it is not in alignment with Him anyway, it's selfish. And so whether we like the word or not, let's call the thing what it is so that we can address it and deal with it. And I'm calling it specifically what it is called in the Bible so that you can then use the Bible to further navigate this shift, because this is just one podcast episode. And I want you to always go back to your word and use that for the transformation, because that is where the transformation is ultimately going to come from. So let's dive in. Selfish ambition is this drive to succeed that is rooted in brokenness, self-exaltation, comparison, control, ego, pride. Anything outside of God's will is selfish ambition. Period.
This episode is brought to you by IXL. The final stretch of the school year is here. With projects, report cards, end-of-the-year milestones approaching, IXL helps kids stay focused, confident, and ready to finish strong. IXL is an award-winning online learning platform that helps kids truly understand what they're learning, whether they're building math confidence, strengthening reading and writing skills, or reviewing science concepts. From pre-K through 12th grade, with personalized interactive content that adapts to each child's level and pace, it's an easy way to support learning now, through summer, and into next school year. Y'all know, we've said it month after month, I am an IXL girl. We use it every single day in my house. Right now, my kindergartner is getting ready for a new standardized test, and their testing software that his school used actually integrates with IXL. And so he's able to use IXL for his specific level to get him ready for his upcoming exams. IXL is proven to improve grades. Studies show that kids who use IXL score higher on tests, and that's actually proven in all 50 states. It saves you time and money. One subscription covers everything, pre-K through 12th grade for all the kids in your home. Make an impact on your child's learning and get IXL now. And Blessed and Bossed Up listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/today. Visit IXL.com/today to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
This episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. I want to remind you guys that May is Mental Health Awareness Month, and this is a great opportunity to check in with yourself and understand where you are right now. I know for me, I am wrapping up my first year of law school, and I definitely am taking a moment to check in with myself after such a crazy year. If you have been feeling overwhelmed, stuck, anxious, or even unsure, acknowledge that. And I want you to know that those feelings are more common than we think, and we don't have to navigate them alone. BetterHelp has quality therapists. They work according to a strict code of conduct and are fully licensed in the U.S. BetterHelp does the initial matching work for you so you can focus on your therapy goals. You have a short questionnaire that helps identify your needs and preferences, and with their 12 plus years of experience and industry-leading match fulfillment rate, that means that they typically get it right the first time. And if you aren't happy with your match, you can just switch to a different therapist at any time from their tailored recommendations. With over 30,000 therapists, BetterHelp is the world's largest online therapy platform, helping serve over 6 million people globally. And it works, with an average rating of 4.9 out of 5 stars for live sessions based on over 1.7 million client reviews. You don't have to be on this journey alone. Find support and have someone with you in therapy. Sign up and get 10% off at BetterHelp.com. That's Better, H-E-L-P.com. This episode is brought to you by Built. Now, whether you're renting or paying a mortgage, one of your biggest monthly expenses should be working harder for you. That's where Built comes in. Built is a membership for where you live that rewards you with points on every housing payment, wherever you live. Built started out rewarding members on their rent. Now, as of 2026, Built members can also earn points on mortgage payments wherever they live. Every housing payment earns you points that you can use towards flights with top travel partners like United and Hyatt, Lyft rides, Amazon.com purchases, and so much more. Personally, I'm redeeming my points for some trips. It's summertime. It's warm outside. She's trying to be outside. She's trying to be on these flights, okay? But here's what I think is the most underrated part. Built members also get access to a neighborhood concierge, meaning it can make restaurant reservations, book fitness classes, and find new local spots, all while being rewarded at more than 45,000 merchant partners. It's like having a personal assistant baked into where you live. It's simple. Being a renter and now owning a home is better with Built. Join a membership for where you live at joinbuilt.com/blessed. That's joinbuilt.com/blessed. Make sure you use our URL so they know that we sent you. Philippians 2 and 3 in the English Standard Version says, "Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourself." Let's go over to James 3, 14 through 16. And quick note about James. If you want somewhere to start in the Bible that helps you to live a godly life, go to the book of James. If you're looking for something practical, for something that is plain, that you can apply simply to your day-to-day life to walk this life out in wisdom, go to the book of James. It's only 5 chapters. It's one of my favorite books. As I opened up my Bible, I got all types of marks in here. I usually use like a digital Bible for the podcast because I like hyperlink the text to make it easier to use for my notes. But I have my physical Bible open. It is all type of marks in the book of James from me studying it. And what I love about this book is how practical it is. Chapter 1 is about being confident as a Christian. Chapter 2 is about what Christians do as far as being of service. Chapter 3 is about how Christians speak. Chapter 4 is about submission. Chapter 5 is about sharing and giving. And it's, again, very, very practical. But let's go to James 3, 14 through 16. And I'm going to actually start with verse 13 because that's the part of this section or the start of this section. It says, "If you are wise and understand God's ways, prove it by living an honorable life, doing good works with humility that comes from wisdom. But if you are bitterly selfish and there is selfish ambition in your heart, don't cover up the truth with boasting and lying. For jealousy and selfishness are not God's kind of wisdom. Such things are earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. For wherever there is jealousy and selfish ambition, there you will find disorder and evil of every kind. Now, I want to emphasize that you can be well-meaning and still be operating out of selfish ambition. Because I like to believe that most of us are not operating from this space because we want to or intentionally. I believe that many of us genuinely want to serve the Lord, but still somehow find ourselves operating out of selfish ambition. And it can happen so sneakily. That's why you have to be sober and vigilant, as the Bible says. That's why you have to be abiding and dwelling in the Lord. That's why you have to be dependent on the Holy Spirit. That's why everything that we talk about every week is so important, because it keeps you from unknowingly drifting the wrong way. And it keeps your outcome and your intentions in alignment. It makes sure you're rooted in the right place so that the fruit that you bear is good. This is how easily this can happen. Let's say the Lord has called you to start sharing your testimony on YouTube. And so you started your channel, you started to share your story with people, you started to teach people how to grow in the Lord. Maybe you started to teach people how to organize their finances or clean their homes, whatever your subject that you're called to is. Let's say you finally stepped out and you started the YouTube channel. We'll use that as an example. And it's going well. You were nervous to do it. You were scared. You procrastinated on it a little bit. But you finally decided that you were going to obey God. You didn't have the money for all the fancy equipment and all of that, but you found a plain background in your apartment. You set up your phone. You got a little extra storage to be able to make sure that you were able to store your videos. You didn't know how to edit, but you YouTubed it. You figured it out. The editing isn't perfect, but you did it. You used what you had to do what the Lord has called you to do. You launch the YouTube channel. You upload your videos. You start getting those comments of people being excited about what you have to say. You start seeing folks being blessed by what you're doing. You start seeing your views go up, your subscribers go up. And you're consistent. You're showing up every week, recording those videos. You're putting them out there and you're getting comfortable. You're getting used to it. What started off as full dependency on the Lord because you were so terrified otherwise has become a lot more comfortable. So you don't have to be as dependent because it's a little easier to just do the thing because you're seeing the fruit of it. And then all of a sudden, for no reason at all, you start getting some hate comments. The views start going down. Nothing changed. You've just been doing what you've always been doing, but the results aren't what they were in the beginning. Then you start seeing these trends come up, where the new thing is, if you want to grow your channel and your numbers are going down, you now have to post at least 3 times a week. And so you're like, okay, well, I've only been posting once a week, so now I'm about to post 3 times a week. So then you start researching, like, okay, well, the Lord has prepared me and given me content for 1 a week. Now I need to do 3. So let me see what's trending right now. So now your content that used to once come from downloads from the Lord, from a pure place of overflow from your prayer time and your community or communing with the Lord, now it's coming from the trending subjects. Now it's coming from the top video content. Now your cadence is conforming to the algorithm and not what the Lord says, because you got to get those numbers back up. Do you see how we shifted from dependency to selfish ambition? You see how easily that happens? Have you ever been there? I know I've been tempted to be there many of times, especially with this podcast. But listen to the sequence of events of how things happen, because you didn't go from serving the Lord to serving the enemy. You didn't go from glorifying him to now boasting about yourself and ego and pride being the centerpiece of your content. However, the root of why you were doing why what you were doing changed. And so it wasn't like you went into prayer and the Lord says, hey, add a video. And then you started doing more than one. It wasn't as if once you decided to do more content, you went to God and say, okay, Lord, what else shall you have me talk about? And then your additional topics came from there. It was you let the disappointment of the data drive you into selfish ambition. And now what was once pure and dependent has become tainted by your desire to see growth in an upward trajectory. Am I stepping on any toes here? I wanted to describe it this way because I want us to understand that selfish ambition is not always this loud, boastful, obvious thing. The enemy will sometimes tempt us and drift us off in a slow way to where it's undetectable sometimes to us. Because our own desire for results, income, growth, etc., can sometimes make us, I will say it will dull our discernment. And once again, this is why the Bible tells us to be sober and vigilant so that we can catch these things and know when it's time to course correct. So again, selfish ambition can come from good intentions. There's nothing wrong with you wanting to grow and see growth in your platform or whatever you're building. Of course, you want to reach more people. You want to save more souls. You want to do better for the Lord. You want to make more money so that you could give more and all of these things. The intention is good, but the root of what's driving the decisions is misaligned. And misalignment is selfish ambition every single time. And it tells us right here in the text, where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you will find disorder in every evil practice. So let's not be tempted into disorder and have the enemy taint what was once pure. Now let's contrast this with godly ambition. Godly ambition is a spirit-led, Holy Spirit-led drive to pursue God's will, to serve his people, to embody the lifestyle of Jesus, and to bring him glory above all, including personal recognition. And the key part of this definition is spirit-led. Because I believe as Christians, again, we are well-meaning. I believe that we want to pursue God's will. We want to serve others. We want to bring him glory over personal recognition. The disconnect and what is so easy to get off is what is driving us. And when you are in godly ambition, your driver is the Holy Spirit. In Galatians 5, 22 through 23, which tells us about the fruit of the Spirit, is exactly how we should be measuring what is driving us. And if you want to learn about spirit living, Holy Spirit living, go to Galatians. Told you, James, if you want to learn simple, practical living in wisdom, James. If you want clear knowledge of the Holy Spirit and how to live a spirit-filled life, go to Galatians. Start at the beginning. I'm not giving you just specific scriptures. I want you to go and study the entire books. We know Galatians 5, 22 through 23 tells us the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law. And those who belong, this is 24, and those who belong in Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. There are a lot of incorrect teachings about what you need to do to produce the fruit of the Spirit or how you need to X, Y, Z in order to embody these fruit. No. The fruit of the Spirit is evidence of a spirit-filled life. It's evidence of a life that is dependent on the Holy Spirit. This fruit produces itself as a result of your dependency on the Holy Spirit. So use this fruit as indicators as to what is driving you at any given moment. In the hypothetical I gave to illustrate how we get into selfish ambition, the fruit of the spirit wasn't present in that decision making. And so that is an indicator that this fake person was beginning to operate in that selfish ambition and not in a spirit-led drive. So let's see how they could have course corrected to make sure that they were maintaining godly ambition and didn't drift into the selfish. So to recap, you are a YouTuber. The Lord has given you the idea to create a YouTube channel where you're going to share your testimony and whatever else He gives you to share with the world. You start creating your videos, you overcome all the fear of getting started, all of the imposter syndrome, all of the things. You commit to it, you're consistent with it, you start seeing good results, and then all of a sudden, things take a turn. Numbers go down, views aren't the same, subscribers aren't growing, and you have no idea what's going on. Now, here is the difference from acting as if we described before that led to selfish ambition. Because here's the thing. Selfish ambition is always right there to tempt us into going that way, but we have to make a decision of which way we're going to go. And our decisions are going to determine the outcome. So at that moment, as we described before, this person, this hypothetical person, made a decision to seek solutions elsewhere, which then resulted in behavior that was rooted in selfish ambition and not the spirit. Here's what you should do. Once you get to that point and the numbers start going down, things are not looking the same, you're confused, you're frustrated, all of the emotions are real. All of the emotions matter, they are real, and we choose to take those emotions back to the Lord. So what this person should have done is nothing at first, continued to persevere and do what the Lord called her to do. And then in prayer time, you then go on to say, God, I'm confused. I've been obedient to you. I'm recording what you want me to record. I'm putting it out there. And for a while, it seemed as if things were going okay. I'm not as afraid as I was before when I'm recording. I'm not as self-conscious as I was before. But did something change? Is something wrong? Did I get off at any point? And wait for the Lord to answer. If the answer is no, and there's nothing that He wants to correct you on, then you say, okay, well, God, is there anything differently that I should be doing? And then you wait to hear His response. Because the Lord might say, yes, I want you to post now multiple times a week, and I will give you what to say. Or He may say, don't do anything different. And then you do what? Obey. Whatever the instructions are, you obey. Now, if His instructions is to do nothing and to just continue, then that's what you do. And if the numbers keep going down, even if they're all the way at zero, you continue to do what the Lord said. And if you feel a certain type of way about it, you take that back to the Lord. God, I don't understand. I went from 100,000 listens to three. What happened? You told me don't do anything differently. You told me to continue. Why are the results not there? And I'll tell you by experience or from experience, what the Lord will likely say back to you is, who are you serving? Me or the algorithm? Me or the data and statistics? And that will likely lead to some transformation that needs to happen in the heart that He'll do to make sure that you're continue to only seek the applause of one, because it can be very tempting and it feels good. To be honest, we're human. It feels good when we're seeing the growth in the platforms. It feels good when the money's coming in. It feels good when people are liking what we're doing, especially when it's vulnerable, when it's new, when it's scary. It feels good to get that validation. There's nothing wrong with that. However, we have to make sure that the only validation we're seeking is the approval of the Lord. And I believe that the Lord strategically adds these moments into our journeys to keep us humble and to make sure that we're only focused on Him. I believe that this is a loving way in which the Lord keeps us from going down the wrong path. And it's a loving way that the Lord keeps us dependent on Him. And we're looking at it as punishment. But honestly, in my opinion, it's love. It's not punishment that the Lord allowed your platform to grow. And I don't know who this is for. It's not punishment that the Lord allowed your platform to grow and then allowed it to stop growing and then allowed it to decline in some ways. It's not punishment. It is His love. It is the way in which He is drawing you back to Him. It's how He's getting your attention. So if you stop being angry or disappointed and allowing that disappointment to drive a wedge between you and God, and instead use that vulnerability to create more intimacy with Him, then you will see why He's allowed that to happen, or you won't, and He'll just comfort you as you're in this season. But nevertheless, you're close to Him. And that is ultimately what matters, is closeness to the Lord and obedience to what He tells us to do. That's it. And godly ambition is being okay with that being the plan. Godly ambition is being flexible. Godly ambition is being in alignment with His will. Godly ambition is being self-aware enough to know when pride and ego are sneaking in, when those likes are making you feel a little too good, when that validation is now driving your decisions and not dependency on the Lord. Godly ambition is doing everything possible to remain in His will and to remain in a space to where you're driven by Him. When your ambition is just simply to do what He wants to do, to simply be who He wants you to be. And that doesn't mean the desires of your heart don't matter or the goals and dreams that you have don't matter. They matter to Him. And all of that, all of what makes you you, is included and what He's going to tell you to do, because He created you. He created those desires. He created that drive. He created those dreams and those goals. And if He created them, then He will give you instructions to where those things come to fruition in His will and in His timing. And so getting rid of that need for control is going to be a huge part of making sure that we remain in godly ambition. And I want to end with this. It is God's desire for us to be whole. And a lot of our selfish ambition comes from brokenness. We've talked about this endlessly on this podcast. We've talked about the studies, the statistics, the root cause of a lot of the things that we have discussed, from maybe our upbringings, from not being able to trust people, so we're the ones always in control. Us getting trophies because that's what we find our self-worth in, our achievements and our accomplishments. We talked about maybe our parents weren't there for us, our mothers or our fathers, or maybe there was some traumatic experience of abuse or whatever the case may be. We all have our stories. Life has happened in so many ways that has molded us into being these achievers. And a lot of us aren't able to sustain this godly ambition standpoint because we haven't allowed the Lord to make us whole yet. And if we don't deal with the root of the thing, we can't possibly think that we're going to build something sustainable. The Lord wants to restore our souls. He wants to make us well. He wants to make us whole, and wholeness will only come from Him. Your ambition will be godly when it comes from a pure, a clean heart that has been wiped clean, that has been made whole by the only one who can do it. And I had notes about different scriptures and places that to go that talks about how the Lord wants to make you whole. But to be honest with you, I think what's not needed in this instance is more intellectual stimulation. I try to, on this podcast, balance the teaching with the heart posture for transformation, because we are the type of women who can get very easily stay in our head. We can very easily live in our mind to where something will sound good. It'll make a great tweet. It'll make a great social media repost and all of these things. It'll make a great note in our journal because it sounds good. We may even go down a rabbit hole of researching and all of these things, and it gives us that intellectual stimulation. But I want us to not just live inside of our head, but also to get into our hearts and to prime our hearts for the Lord to transform it. And so I think that if I go straight down the list of scriptures and we talk about how the Lord wants to make you whole, that it'll lead to that. Because we know God wants to make us whole. We know that He wants us healed. We know that He wants us well. I don't have to teach you that. Where we struggle with is the vulnerability that is required for that transformation to take place. And so if you listen to this podcast and you listen to my hypothetical and you identify with the behaviors of the person in the selfish, ambition category and not the one in the godly ambition category, or maybe you identify with both but find yourself on the wrong side of things too often, I invite you to sit with the Lord in a level or from a place of vulnerability. And so what I want you to do is to set aside some time this week, and I want you to fast. I want you to turn down your plate from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. No food. Stay hydrated. If you have medical conditions and all of that, talk to your doctor. Otherwise, sit fast. Sit with the Lord and pour your heart out to Him. Whatever that root cause, because again, I don't have to tell you the root of where the brokenness came from. Many of us know. Many of us are very aware because we intellectualize things so much. We know, but I want you to take that to the Lord and say, God, I struggle with godly ambition because I want to control the outcome. I struggle with godly ambition because your godly ambition requires me to move with limited information, and that makes me uncomfortable. I see how in your word you had Peter follow you and step out on water, and for as long as he was focused on you, he didn't sink. But then he noticed what was around him and he started to sink. God, it's hard for me to focus on you when all of this is going on around me. I'm sinking because I'm like Peter. I'm paying attention to everything else, and it's difficult for me to focus on you because, unlike Peter, I can't see you. I'm not looking you in your eyes. I'm looking at the pages of this text. I'm looking at the experience that I had that drew me to you in the first place. But sometimes, because of what's going on in my life, in the world, in this economy, gas is high, and you're asking me to trust you with my business and growth financially when the economy is out of control, when there's war going on in the world. And I'm seeing it every day on the TV, on the radio, and my devices. Everywhere I open my eyes, there is calamity. But you're asking me to trust you. That's difficult for me, God. I've never been successfully led by anybody in my life, but you want me to trust that someone I can't see is going to lead me well? I struggle with that. The Lord can handle the truth of your vulnerabilities. I'll tell you, for my own journey, I made a vow that I would never lie to the Lord. I cannot have a relationship with anybody that I have to have a mask on for, that I can't be honest with. If I can't come and say, I'm angry, I'm pissed, I'm aggravated, I don't understand, I am disappointed, I am sad, I feel let down. If I can't tell God these truths, then how are we going to have the type of relationship and closeness that's necessary for me to live this life? And so I know we've been taught a lot of times in church, I know I have, by the elders of you know, being honest is being disrespectful. You talking about how you feel is being disrespectful. No, it's not disrespectful to tell God that you're disappointed. He wants you to come to him, those who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest for your souls. He tells us to come to him. We can be honest. He knows already how we feel. Us communicating it is not for us, not for him to be informed, but it's for us to be freed and relieved and released from the enemy using our feelings and brokenness to keep us bound. So for those of you who are struggling with maintaining this godly ambition, I encourage you to go with your vulnerabilities and sit before the Lord. So again, fast. Get into your word. Get into a study Bible. Get rid of the devices. Get into a good study Bible and sit with the Lord with the raw and totality of your emotions and ask him to make you whole and surrender to that process of wholeness. Because that process may look like going to therapy. It will look like a lot of forgiveness. It may look like calling some people you don't want to talk to. It may look like facing some things that you've buried. It's going to be ugly. It's not going to feel good, but it is going to be necessary. And you should surrender to it, because if it is the Lord's process, it is for your good. So I pray that this episode blessed you. I pray more than anything that it encouraged you and pushed you towards the Lord. And I pray that it gave you clarity as to the difference between selfish ambition and godly ambition, because it is my prayer that you move forward with godly ambition, because it's going to allow you to experience the same drive and goal getting that is a part of who you are, but with a peace that surpasses all understanding. It'll allow you to continue to do and achieve, but without the anxiety and the stress and the depression and the pressure, because you won't be carrying yourself. He will be carrying you instead. So thank you guys so much for listening to another episode of the Blessed and Bossed Up podcast. I love you, and I'll see you in the next one.